Just, you know, as you're going along, just keep me in prayer that God will give us wisdom here. We're in a time when God had called Abram. Now, I'm going to use Abraham, if you'll forgive me, because I'm not going to go Abram to this point, and then after that he went to Abraham, because Abram just meant father. Abraham means father of many nations. All right? So, Abraham was the name that was given to him following a relationship that it was established by God with him. And God spoke this and gave him a new name. Amen? How many of you know you've got a new name written in heaven? Amen? Amen? Your name is Faithful. Your name is Love. Your name is Grace. Your name is Mercy. All the things God has pronounced over you. Your name is Saved. Redeemed, washed, cleansed. That's what God calls you.
Thank you, Father.
I don't know about you, but I like that. There's a lot of things people call me, but none of those. So I'll trust God for that. Amen. I'll trust God. I'll walk with Him. I like what He calls me better than what other people call me. All right, now, here's Abraham at this point. And God was trying to tell him, and I just lost my page, that, you know, I've got all these promises for you. I'm going to bless you. And I'm going to give you land. And I'm going to give you all these blessings in your life. Any man, how many here have already said yes? God, we've seen in His Word promises that we haven't seen fulfilled fully, completely yet. But know this, they are coming. The fulfillment of them is already there. It's just us getting it from that spirit realm into the natural. Amen. Amen? And that comes through faith. Comes no other way. You don't get God's promises outside of faith. But now your question is, what do we put our faith in? Amen? Amen. Put our faith in what? Here was God was saying to Abraham. Abraham was coming out of a pagan society. Abraham didn't know God. But yet God called him out of that place of darkness and was trying to bring him into a new place. And Abraham, just like all of us, he's kind of concerned that the promise of God isn't really going to come to pass in his life. Amen? And he said, you know, God said to Abraham, listen, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. You're going to have an inheritance. Your child is going to be the first of great many multitudes. And Abraham's going, yeah, I'm 100 years old, my wife's 99, yeah, you're going to tell us, and well, that I'm going to have a child, yeah, that's foolish. How's that going to be? But let's look, I want to show you something that is going to, I think, open the eyes of our understanding here to the stance that we're in. Okay, go. Let's look at Genesis 15. He says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. Oh, hallelujah. I am your shield and your exceedingly great reward. Amen. What do you say in Hebrews 11:6? You cannot please God without faith, because you must believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek after Him. Oh my goodness. How many of you know you got a reward? And listen, everybody says, yeah, when I get to heaven, I'm going to, yes. But God wants to show you His faithfulness here. How will you know except He reveals yourself down here? Well, I'm going to just live by faith. Faith is not based on just something out here. Faith is based on knowledge. You understand that? Faith is based on knowledge. Not just some thought up here or some, yeah, well, I got to believe God so I can be saved. No. I was watching a bridge being made over in China. I don't remember how long it was, but quite lengthy and lengthened. They had the base of it, or the walkway of it, was made out of glass over this great gorge. And it had a video of it, and some of the people were walking out on it, and there were people were dragging people across it because they didn't want to walk across it. They didn't have faith in what that glass. I don't blame them. I'm not sure I'd be walking across it, skipping and going, yay, yay, yay. Amen? So we need to know We want something solid to stand on. And I don't want it built by somebody else. Amen. I want it built on the knowledge that I have. God wants to reveal to you truth. Truth is not just somebody saying something. Truth is saying it and doing it.
Amen.
Somebody can say something. Somebody can say, I love you, Patty, and turn around and talk about you over here. That's not truth. Saying I love you isn't truth. If God says I love you, then he's going to prove he loves you. And that's what he did with Abraham. He said, I'm going to prove I love you. Abraham is, look what goes on. Well, let's go on. I can get stuck on one scripture here. But Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless in the air of my house in Eliezer of Damascus? Then Abram said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, look now. I mean, I could go through all these and we could spend all year just on these scriptures. Then he brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to him, "You so shall your descendants be." Well, I've told you, and I said this to you, if you can see it, you can believe it, you can receive it. Amen?
Amen.
God was taking him outside. So I want to show you something. I want you to see something you've never saw. He's seen all those stars before. But it didn't mean anything to him. They were just stars, lights up in the heavens. He didn't know what they were all about. But God put something there in him. All of a sudden, he gave him some knowledge of something. I want you to look at him differently this time. I want you to start looking at things differently. I want you to start looking at what the promise of God is based on, something solid that you can stand on. When you see it, you can believe it. Why can I believe it? Not because somebody said so. Not because I'm hoping for it. God is a very present help in time of need.
Amen.
Amen? Very present. When you have a need right now, you don't want to wait 5 months from now to get it. You want it today. You know, prosperity now, Lord. In my spirit, soul, and body. In every area of my life, I want prosperity now. Not tomorrow. Now. Amen? Now, when we talked about before this, we talked about Jacob when he was on his way to his brother Esau. He said, listen, you said this to me. In other words, Jacob wasn't saying, oh, I can wait a month or so from now to get it. I know you're working something out, God. No, because Esau was on his way to him. He's ready to kill him. He needed him to move now. There's some of us right now, we need God to move now.
Amen.
Yeah, but now. You can't force God's hand. I'm not forcing God's hand. I'm telling you what God said, not what I'm saying. I'm not telling you can force God. God, listen, the only thing that moves God is faith. Let me put it this way. Your need does not move him. If that was true, then every time the devil brought a need in your life, God would have to move. So it's not a need that's moving him. It's faith based on knowledge that moves God. Faith based on knowledge. I know why I can say to God, you said it, and I can receive it. Amen? So something solid we want to have. Let me go on. Where was I? Okay, he said five. He said, you brought him outside. He said, look now toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed in the Lord. And he, meaning the Lord, accounted it to Abram, or him, or Abraham, Abram, for righteousness. Because he believed in God, he was considered righteous. His faith is what caused righteousness in his life. Faith in who he was. Amen? He believed he's God. Remember, that's the thing. You have to believe in him. He is. If he is God, is he interested in your life? Is he interested in what's going on down here right now? Is he interested in our elections? Is he interested in the way America's going? Is he interested in the things that are coming up against you? Does he care? If he cares, why is it that we're not seeing God provide whatever it is that we need? Oh, he is, but we're just not seeing it yet. No, I would put it this way. He already has. The provision was made long time ago with Abraham. For your need today. Matter of fact, it was established before the foundation of the world. Even before Abraham. Hallelujah. Listen to this. And he believed in the Lord. It's not saying that he believed the Lord. He believed in the Lord. In God. Then he said to him, meaning God spoke to Abram, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit it. A promise. I brought you out and I promised to give you this if you came out. You came out of the world? God has given you promises.
Amen.
Amen? God has given you promises. Listen. And this is where we're at. Verse 8. And Abraham, or he said, Lord God, how shall I know that I will inherit it? A moment ago, he was considered righteous because of faith. But now he's saying, how do I know that I've inherited? How do I know that your promise is mine? I hear your promise. I see your promise fulfilled in other people's lives. How come I'm not seeing it? That's what he's saying. I hear. Now, he said, I believed in God, so it was considered righteous. He became righteous at that point. Not by works, by his faith in God. And now he's saying, Lord, you said this promise is mine. How do I know it's mine? Isn't that what he said? Anybody ever say that? Amen? Look, being honest with God is better than just going along ignoring. I don't understand, Lord. You said I'm healed. Why aren't I seeing the fulfillment of it? God hasn't changed. He didn't say, I'll heal you mañana or someday. He said, by your stripes you were healed. The Bible says, when you stand praying, believe that you have what you ask for, and you shall what? Receive it. Mm-hmm. How do I know if I stand here that I can ask God for something according to his will, and I know that I know that I know that I know it is already mine? Now you're able to come to him boldly. Why? Why am I able to come boldly to God and say, Lord God, you said this is a promise you have given to me personally. How come I don't see it? That's what Abraham's saying. How do I know it's real? Here's the key. Let's go on. The key is always going to be in the Word. Amen. Look what he says. Then he said to him, verse 9. So he said to him, meaning God said to him, bring me 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old female goat, a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. Then he brought all these to him, cut them in two, down the middle, and placed each piece opposite the other. But he said, but he did not cut the birds in two. And when the vultures came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. When the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. Behold, horror and great darkness fell upon him. Then he said to Abram, know certainly that your descendants, is Jacob a descendant? Are you a descendant of Abraham? He is your father. Amen? Know that. So if you're born again, spirit-filled child of God, you have been brought in and you've been engrafted into the vine of Israel. Abraham is the father of Israel. We are now members of that family.
Right.
Amen? Yes. Grab that, because it's important to you. Listen. He said, then he said to Abram, "Know certainly your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them 400 years. He's talking about a prophetic word to Abram about going into Egypt. "And also the nation whom they serve I will judge. Afterward they will come out with a great possessions. Now as far as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried at a good old age. But in the fourth generation shall return, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete." And he goes on. All right? Then he goes on and he starts with this. He established a covenant with Abram. Yeah? Understanding a covenant is crucial to be able to be established in a covenant. Abraham understood covenant relationship, because covenants were established at his time in the place where he lived. Most Middle Eastern countries understand covenant. Most indigenous people here, the Native American, the Eskimos up in Alaska, understand covenant relationships. Down here, covenant relationships and covenants aren't established, and so people now rely on contracts. They rely on man's way of putting two things together, and as long as it's man-made, we're able to break it. Or we can just ignore it, or we can just pretend it's not real. And so a contract you might get for whatever reason, selling something, somebody will come up at the last minute and say, "I don't want to do it." "Yeah, but you signed the contract." "I don't care, sue me." We really don't have a concept of a covenant. A covenant that was established is a covenant that cannot be broken. If it is broken, it means death to the one who broke it. You forfeited your life if you break the covenant. When God established a covenant with Abraham, Abraham said, "Lord, how do I know that what you told me is true, that I will inherit this land?" God says, "I'm going to show you, Abraham, by bringing a covenant to you. And that covenant will be between you and me." Hallelujah. You still with me? All right. What I want to do is take you through now what happens when you have a covenant. What happens? Because we don't have covenants. I remember when we were kids, I'm not trying to be politically correct or incorrect, but we played cowboys and Indians. And we used to have blood brothers. And we took a pin. Amen. I didn't like it, but we'd pick our finger and then we'd hold our fingers together and we became blood brothers. Remember that? Then we'd go, go get a Band-Aid quick and go get mommy to kiss it and all this stuff. Now I got Diane, but mommy's home with the Lord. Amen. But the covenant. And the church has slowly but surely passed away from those areas of covenant, understanding covenant. Covenant was more than just saying, "I'm with you." God says, "Because I'm in covenant with you, I will be in you and on you. I'll give you..." Well, let me go. I don't want to go ahead of it. All right. So let's look at some of the things that happen when people have a covenant. Usually a covenant is established between two individuals or two nations where one is strong and the other is weak. In an area that may be militarily, that nation over there is strong and I am weak in that area, so I want a covenant with them so that they will help protect me. I may be strong in food gathering over here and growing food, but they're not so strong in that area, so they want a covenant with me so that I can meet their need where food is concerned. So each person that comes into a covenant relationship has purpose for it, reasons for it. So they would come together and they would talk out the terms of the covenant. They'd actually sit together and talk about it. Okay, this is what we need from you, this is what you need from us, and this is what you need from here. Okay, and so we come into agreement. So yeah, okay, we agree with that. So the terms of the covenant first have to be established. Once the terms are established, they pick representatives. So there'll be one from over this nation or this tribe or this people over here, and there'll be one from over here. And they will represent their individual tribes or nations or people group, however it worked. And they would come out to a certain place. And then they would take usually about three animals, large animals, and they would sacrifice them, cut them in half, just like Abraham. And they would be laid out in a long walkway, like on each side. In the middle would be separate. This is really how they did it. And in that middle would be a trail of blood from the carcasses of the animals. And that path of blood was called the way of the blood. It was called the way of the blood. Then the next thing that would happen would they'd exchange clothes or coats. And the exchange of coats resembled the power that each one held. And they said, because we are powerful in military, we give you our coat, which might be a breastplate, a chain mail, or whatever it is. And they would get something to indicate that they were given their power and authority over. And then these guys had food, so they had a coat, and they'd exchange coats. And what they're saying is, all that I have belongs to you, and all that I have belongs to you. And they bring everything into the pot together. From there, they'd exchange weapons. In that, they would give each one would bring their weapons, which means that my strength is now your strength, and your strength is now my strength. We have doubled in strength, at least. Then there was the walk. As the covenant was processing on, the two representatives would start walking through the path between the carcasses, walking over the way of the blood. As they walked through, they would meet in the middle. They'd face each other. And they would proclaim to one another the blessings that come from this covenant. These are the blessings that come from the covenant. And they'd speak it back and forth. Then they'd walk again and come around again. And then they'd speak the curses that come from this covenant. If you don't abide by the covenant, if I get in trouble and you don't come running to help me, there's a curse that comes on you. That curse will end up in death for you. They believed this. They didn't just say it just to say it, but they knew that if they messed up the covenant, there was a price for it. There was a cost for it. Once they have walked through the pathway of blood, the next thing they did was what I said earlier, is they cut the covenant. In other words, they cut their hand or the wrist, put their hands together, and they mingled the blood, and they become one. In essence, that's what, remember what the Bible says, the life is in the blood. So as they mingled their blood, as far as they were concerned right now at this point, we are one people. We're not two, we're one. And then what they would do is exchange names so that they became one name. So if you talked about this tribe was the Smith tribe and this tribe was the Jones tribe, they now are both known by Bill. They got a new name. And the name made them united. So if you said Bill, it didn't matter they were living there and they were living over there, they believed that they were part of the same tribe. See, the covenant was more than just saying, yeah, I believe or something. It was very serious in that day. These people didn't just do things. They did exactly what God instructed for Abraham. And then the last thing that happened was a covenant meal. The covenant meal usually consists of bread and wine. The bread being the flesh and the wine being the blood. Now that was in the old, you know, these old tribal units. They weren't born again, spirit-filled people. It wasn't just Abraham seeing that for the first time, and it wasn't done. Abraham understood this because he has done this, he's experienced it, and he had seen this all before. And he knew the significance of the power of the covenant that God was now establishing right there that night with him. When Jacob stood there and he said, God, you said it, he was basing it on the covenant that Abraham had cut with God, not on just what God had spoken to him. That covenant said to Jacob, I can go to my heavenly Father and ask for whatever I want, and he'll give it to me as long as it's according to his will. How do I know it's his will? Because he told me. Amen? We know it's his will because he told us right here. That's why the whole world is trying to destroy this word. Because if the enemy can remove this word from your life, he removes all the promises of the covenant that was established with Abraham. And now as an heir with Jesus Christ, you are also part and parcel and established on that same covenant. So when you go to the Father, and I'm not done with, I'll show you how it really affects us. When you go to the Father, you can say to him, Father, I know that you said I am healed, and I believe it because it's established on the covenant that I am with you. That's powerful. That is powerful. Just to say I believe, yeah, but what? On what basis? God, you said you'd meet all my needs. I'm in financial distress, Father. You promised Abraham. You told us all the gold and silver belong to you. How about sharing? Send some of your gold. Hallelujah. Okay. God wanted Abraham to know that he loved him. And God wanted him to know that he cared about his personal existence while here on earth. Because of the covenant, Abraham was able to fulfill God's purpose for his life. Go with me to Romans 4 with you. This is, hallelujah, hallelujah, okay. Romans 4:1, I wasn't going to read only one scripture, but I really want to read the whole thing. Listen, What then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. He believed in God. He believed God. And because of faith, he was considered righteous. You are righteous in the same manner as faithful Abraham. It's not by works. Not by works. I sat with someone the other day. We were talking about being born again, about being saved. And I explained to them, look, it's not by your works. Yeah, but they're such a nice people. They do such good works. I said, that doesn't make them saved. That makes it, look, people do good things at times. Not everybody's evil out there. So it's not about works. It's about faith. I explained faith in Christ. And they had a hard time grasping that. When we grasp the fact that it's by faith, not by works, all of a sudden your faith rises up. If he can save my eternal soul by faith, why can't he do the rest of this by faith? I mean, that's this. Him healing my body is small potatoes compared to getting my spirit into heaven. Come on. You know as well as I do, we mess up. How many mess up today? Yeah, we all will. It's somehow, some way. But yet God is still able.
Hallelujah.
Because of the covenant that was established, God is still able to get me there.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Not by my works. Oh, glory to God. Covenant relationship is so critical. Covenant relationship is so powerful. Everything. Well, let's go on. I want to read this. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes the righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven. Hallelujah, that's us. And whose sins are covered. Yes, Jesus. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. You excited yet? Amen. Hallelujah. Does this blessedness then come upon the circumcised only or upon the uncircumcised also? For we say that faith was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. How then was it accounted? While he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised. And he received a sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all those who believe, though they are uncircumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them also. In other words, they were circumcised as a sign or a seal that they had gained righteousness through faith in Christ. We were also given a seal. Amen? That establishes that we are righteous in the eyes of God, and that's the presence of the Holy Spirit in our hearts.
Oh, yeah.
That is a seal to prove,
yes,
that I'm in covenant with my God.
Jesus. Hallelujah.
Oh, glory. Oh, glory.
Yeah.
When David stood up against Goliath, he said, "You uncircumcised Philistine." He was saying this, "You who are not in covenant with my God, I'm going to deal with you today." Stand up. Say it. You and glory to God. Why do you think he said, "No weapon formed against you shall prosper"? Nothing. Why? Because you're in covenant with me. And I have put my shield of faith in your hands. I have lifted the sword of the Spirit. Amen? God. Oh, man. You are established on a greater covenant than they were. Hallelujah. Let me go. Even when Abraham messed up, nobody could touch him. Amen? Because he was in covenant with God. When you mess up, don't worry about it. Confess your sin. He's faithful and just for you. Get on with your way.
Amen.
Why? Not based on that, but based on the fact that you're in covenant relationship with God, and God will never break that covenant with you. Ever.
Hallelujah.
Ever. Wait till you get it. Wait till you get the rest of it. You're going to love it. Let me go on. Where did I stop here? All right, thank you. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of faith which he had while still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all those who believe, though they are uncircumcised. That's us. That righteousness might be imputed to them also. That means just given to us. You didn't earn it. You didn't work towards it. You just given. You are righteous. Isn't that cool? And the father of circumcision to those who not only are of the circumcision, but all who also walk in the steps of faith which our father Abraham had while still uncircumcised. So his righteousness and covenant relationship with God was established before the circumcision, which was a seal of the proof that they were in relationship with God. And we are in that same realm with Abraham. All right. For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. He's going to be heir to the world. What does that make you? Heir to the world. It belongs to you. It's yours. What we've allowed to do is let the enemy take it and use it for his ugliness instead of for God's beauty. This world is groaning and hurting. The very earth itself groans and hurts because the children of God don't know their established covenant with God, and they're allowing the world to dictate to them the truth that God and only God alone has. So they can say, oh, there's global warming and man is destroying the earth. No, he isn't. And no, there isn't. The only global warming that's coming is Jesus coming back soon.
Amen.
And when the sun sets foot on this earth, there's going to be a battle that he guarantees to win.
Amen.
Amen. Look, man, can you just think for a moment, please. Just think for a moment. The arrogance, the hubris of man to think that they can do something and destroy something that God created. Are you kidding me? They might be able to kill the body, but they certainly can't kill the soul and the spirit. So man can do some things, and they're doing a lot of evil out there, and yes, a lot of stuff, and we were all part of that at one time, so we're not going to get on our high horse. We're all part of that system out there at one time. But God delivered us out of that into the kingdom of his Son.
Hallelujah.
Into the glory. So now we know. Before we didn't know. Now we know.
Amen.
We know who is on top and who is on the bottom. They're on the bottom. We're on top.
Amen.
What do you mean? We're seated at the right hand of the Father.
Amen.
We got his ear.
Yes.
We can talk.
Amen.
God listens. I like it. Amen? I'm trying to get you to a place where you understand the covenant you've been established and you are part of gives you the promises of God, yea and amen, based on the covenant, not based on your will, your desires, or your hearts, or any of that stuff. It's based on a covenant that God established with us. It's God. I'll show you in the scriptures. Hallelujah. Okay, let's finish this reading. Hallelujah. I'll be here. I won't get it all done today probably, but all right, let's go on. All right. Let's see. Where were you? 14, 15? 13. Okay, let's start in 14. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of no effect. Because the law brings about wrath. For where there is no law, there is no transgression or sin. Praise God. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed. You're part of the seed. Amen? Not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He. And the pres why the, even the Muslims call him father. Amen? Father of many nations. Hallelujah. And the present to him whom he believed. God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken. So shall your descendants be, which we are part of. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body. Take it. I don't care what the situation is. The situation is not the problem. Amen? Listen to what he said. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Where did he get all of that from? Because God established a covenant with him, and he knew that if God said it, he would perform it.
Amen.
No doubt, no question, nothing. Why? Because God made a covenant with me, and he said he would do it. Amen? Excuse me. Excited one of these days. All right. Hallelujah. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. And being, listen to this, fully convinced, not partially convinced, not 1 minute yes, the next minute no. A double-minded man, what? Shall never receive of the Lord. He's unstable in all his ways. But one who is fully convinced will not be moved from the promise of God, because it's established on the covenant of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. Blessed be the name of our Lord and Savior God. Thank you. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses, and was raised up because of our justification. Praise God. Jesus went to the cross because of our offenses, but he came out of the grave for our... Come on now.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Look at yourself and stop looking at the circumstance to determine who you are. God had given the covenant with you, and he changed the fact that's who you are. This is who you are.
Amen.
This is who you are now. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, boy, we could have stayed in there for a long time. Because of that covenant, Abraham was able to take his son Isaac up onto a mountain, lay him on an altar, and literally ready to sacrifice him. Think about it. We try to figure out, how can anybody do that? How can anybody take their only son, the one whom he loves, the one, all the promises of God were going to go through Isaac. And God said, now, I want you to do something. I want you to take your son up on a mountain, and I want you to sacrifice him to me. Now, Abraham understood that human sacrifice because he came out of that system of human sacrifice. It wasn't an unusual request. He understood. Abraham understood what it meant when he was sacrificing him. That was the end of Isaac's life, unless God did something. But because of the established covenant, go with me to Hebrews 11. By faith, verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. Concluding, listen to this, that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning these things to come. So Abraham, because of the covenant, because of the promise of God established on that covenant, was able to take Isaac up on the mountain and sacrifice him, give him to God. Because he believed. He believed with everything, and he'd never seen this before. He had never seen somebody raised from the dead yet. Never seen it. But because God said it, by faith, he said, I believe if I sacrifice him, God will be able to raise him even from the dead. That's how much I have faith in the covenant I have with my Father in heaven, because he said, out of him will come my descendants. And if he's dead, he can't. If you're dead, you're no good to God. God wants you to live and not die and proclaim the works of God. And I'm not talking about physical death alone. Some of us can be spiritually dying. Some of us can be spiritually and physically dying. God is able.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Now, when Abraham had laid his son down on the altar of sacrifice, he opened the way. That was in Genesis 22. He opened the way for God, the covenant partner, to do the same thing with his only son, Jesus, on the cross later on. Know this, Jesus didn't just appear at that time when he went to the cross. Jesus was part of the covenant with Abraham. Wow. Go in Galatians 3:16. Now here's where I want you to grasp this, because sometimes we think that, you know, we're living here in the year 2016. We've been alive, some of us, for many, many years, some of us not so many years. And to us, this is all there is to existence. This is our world right here. This time period we live in, the place where we're living, this is it. But know this, you were called before the foundation of the world. Your names were already established long before you were born. Your place in man's society was already preordained before you got here. This is not something new. You are part of the overall purpose of God and plan of God for humanity and for all of time. In God's kingdom, there is no time up in heaven. There is no time. It's just the plan of God being worked out. You were already established to be here for that part of that plan. God knew you'd be sitting here today, long before the foundation of this world were even established. God knew you'd be hearing this message. God knew that to when you leave this building that you'll be doing something. He knows exactly what you'll be doing. He knew that. So you're part of this whole thing. God created you for purpose, that your purpose would glorify him. You do not glorify him in sickness. You do not glorify him in depression and oppression. You do not glorify him in poverty, spirit, soul, or body. You glorify him when the very glory of God is manifested in your life. When all of a sudden people start seeing there's something about you. You look different. You're not like everybody else. And you say, yeah, it's not me. But it's the Christ in me. What God has planned for your life is so wonderful. I can't conceive of it. You won't be able to conceive of it. But as long as you stay connected to the covenant promises of God, to the covenant relationship with God, God will fulfill his purpose for your life. And that is to glorify him and being blessing to others. And along with that, you'll be blessed. You understand? Your blessing comes out of the blessings that you're able to share with others through the covenant relationship with your God. In the natural realm, the natural thing for us is all to think about us. The natural thing, it's all about me. Selfies and Facebook and all this is all about me. He wants the world. We want the world to know it's about us. Crazy people out there doing stupid things so they get their 5 minutes of fame on news. Or we get all caught up in all of this. And we miss the big picture. What we need is a selfie with God. We need to say, take a self-portrait with our Heavenly Father and say, this is me and God together. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we got on Facebook sometime and they got a picture of you with a glory on your face and a smile and you're saying, this is me and God together. Don't look at me. Look at him in me. Amen. Amen? Hallelujah. So where did I tell you to go? 3:16. Hallelujah. Now, to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say to seeds as of many, but as of one. And to your seed, who is Christ. Amen? So the promise was made to Abraham and to his seed, which was Jesus. At the time the covenant was established. Get it? It's important. Because being in Christ means that you were there too. Not in the physical sense. The same covenant that Jesus was part of. Same covenant we're part of. Hallelujah. Look at Galatians 3, verse 29. And if you are Christ, are you Christ here?
Yes.
Look what it says. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. So Abraham's seed, that's who you are. Notice that's singular. Hallelujah. You are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So the covenant was established by God. Hallelujah. Now. All right. And his seed. Abraham and his seed. The seed being Christ. And if we're in Christ, we are the seed. That's what it says, right? If we are in Christ, and if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Okay. Remember what we talked about before? Well, I want to make sure. No, let me. Okay. Go back. Go with me into Deuteronomy 28. How many know the scripture in Deuteronomy 28? Okay. Go to Deuteronomy 28. You know these. You know these when you get to them. The blessing and cursings. Amen. Now know this. Abraham's descendants, God was speaking to. And he was saying to them, in this covenant relationship with me, I want to show you the difference between living under that covenant relationship and breaking that covenant relationship. Living in that relationship are the blessings that come. When you stay in relationship with me, when you stay in that covenant relationship with me, I want you to know there are blessings. Now, if you read them all, I'm not going to go through them all. But from verse 1 through verse 14 are the blessings that come with staying in covenant relationship with God and doing as the covenant instructs us to do. All right? It shall come to pass, I'll read a couple of them. If you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. Isn't that? Praise God. In other words, we don't have to be chasing after these things. They're going to chase us down. They're going to force the blessing on you. You won't even be looking for it. You wake up in the morning, all of a sudden blessings just stop falling from heaven into your lap. That's the way it's supposed to be. God sees a need of yours way off in the distance. God already supplied your need before the need arises. Hallelujah. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall you be in the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, and the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of, and so on and so forth. You can read those. Go through them and read them down, the blessings of God in your life. Well, that was for the Old Testament. It was for the seed of Abraham. Are you the seed of Abraham? Yes. It's for you. Amen. Grab them. See, I got the promises and the blessings because I have a covenant with God. I'm in a covenant relationship with God. And because of that, the blessings of Abraham belong to me. Now you go on and you see the curses. From 15 to all the way 68. You think there's a few more than there is to the blessing part? He talks about all the sicknesses, all the diseases are part of the curse. Poverty is part of the curse. Depression and oppression, part of the curse. Anything, any good thing you lack in your life is part of the curse. God never intended you to suffer. His son suffered for you. You might suffer for the name of Jesus. But the curse is real. We can't ignore it. But I want to give you some good news. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me take you to Galatians 3. So you got the blessings and you got the curses. Amen. Okay. Verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So what's he saying? There's a blessing and a curse. Jesus took the curse away. All we got left are blessings.
Amen.
That get me excited. It did when I was going through this. I can't help but be blessed. You remember the story of Jacob when he went to his father-in-law Laban, and Laban kept changing everything, trying to steal from him the blessings of God, and he couldn't do it. When the prophet came to the prophet and said, I want you to come and curse Israel. He said, I can't curse that which God has blessed. You can't be cursed if you're blessed of God.
Amen.
A curse is something that's spoken over your life to cause you harm. devil comes along and says, you're sick and dying. Jesus comes along and said, you shall not die but live and proclaim the works of God.
Amen.
The blessing, the curse. I'll take the blessing every time because I've been redeemed from the curse.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Give me a few more minutes, will you? Maybe I can get this done today. Then again, maybe not. Let's look at what happened when Jesus came. Remember what we talked about before. I gave you a list of things that were going to be done during the cutting of the covenant. Amen? We talked about, well, I'm not going to go in order here, but let's take the first thing I've got here. The animals. Jesus, the Lamb of God, was sacrificed. The blood that was shed. There's a scripture, and I'm trying to, where I got it, I don't have it, in Hebrews. God said, I'll make a new and living way. What do we say that trail of blood to walk through was? The way of the blood. I'll make a new and living way. That living way was the blood of Christ. So we see that we have a better covenant that's coming along here. So Jesus is the one who was slain. Now, Jesus not only became the animal, not only was his blood shed, but he was our representative in the covenant relationship. Remember we said you have to have a representative from each? Abraham was a representative from earth. Jesus was the representative from heaven. The two representatives coming together. And you being the seed. Hallelujah. Not only is he that, though, Jesus is also our mediator. Jesus is up there praying for you right now. Interceding for you right now. Father, open their eyes so they can understand this. So they can be established on the covenant relationship that you have established through Abraham and me. All right, so let's look at something else. He's also the covenant meal. Bread and the wine. Jesus said. So he's our covenant meal also. Now go with me in Ephesians 6. Isn't it cool? God is so good. Ephesians 6, look at verse 10. Now, I want you to read this in the light of what we've learned so far about covenant. The exchange between this person and this person. The exchange between the two nations, okay? Think about this. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. In the power of his might, you exchange your weakness for his might.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Put on the whole armor of God. You might be able to withstand against the wiles of the enemy. We exchanged our coats. We took his coat, his armor.
Jesus.
Amen. Based on the establishment of the... Go into verse 13. Listen to this. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you might be able to withstand in the evil day and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one, or the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So in Christ has exchanged his weapon and armor with you and made you strong in the power of his might. He exchanged your weakness for his strength. Through a covenant relationship, you are now one with him. Jesus took your sin and gave you his robe of righteousness and right standing with God. He has become totally one with you. When God looks into you and sees you, he sees Jesus. He's not looking at your flesh. He's not looking at this stuff out here. He's looking to the heart. If you have not the Spirit of Christ, you have no covenant relationship with him. The devil has no right to interfere in your affairs of your life. It does not, the new covenant that you're established under does not depend upon you keeping it, because it was established in heaven with God and Jesus, and it depends solely on him keeping it. It removes all religious ideas about having to do this and this. Now look, people are saying to themselves, I can tell you, well, it doesn't matter what I do then, I can do this and do that. No, of course it matters. Because what it does is affect you. Understand that when you sin isn't what's going to kill you. Sin is what condemns your heart. And in your heart, because you have the Son, you have the light of the gospel in you, you already have the life that's in you, that all of a sudden looks at the darkness of sin and says, I don't want that. And every time you say to the sin, yes, your heart starts condemning you. And when your heart condemns you, you won't go to the Father. You will think that in your heart, you will think God doesn't love me, God doesn't want anything to do with me, because I'm a bad person, I've done this, and I know I shouldn't do it, but I did it anyways, and I shouldn't do this. And what happens is, you've moved off that covenant position and relationship into one of self, having to get there somehow by your works. We don't recognize it, we don't realize it, we really don't think that way. We're not thinking that way. But look what happens. That's why sin is detrimental to you. It isn't because God hates you. It isn't because God rejects you. No. It's because God's covenant relationship with you has been diminished by the darkness of the sin. That's why God says, confess your sin. He said, I'll remove it quickly. And then the light of the gospel of the truth of the covenant relationship I have established through my son in Abraham, and you are a part of. So when you stand praying, when you stand and you ask God, you come from a position of covenant relationship with God, established by God through his son Jesus by the power of his glorious spirit. That's why I have confidence, and not in me, but in God's covenant relationship that he established with me. That is the perfect venue. That is the walk of the blood right up into the throne room of grace and mercy, because I know he did it. It's all about him. He established the covenant. He called me into the covenant. He gave it to me. I can ask him for anything I need and he'll give it to me.
Amen.
It's not based on what I do, what I think. It's based on him and him alone. All the glory goes to him. When he answers my prayers, it's not because I prayed. It's because he established that relationship with me.
Hallelujah.
And when you've done that, you say, oh, you fall in love with him. You really, truly fall in love with him. He becomes your life. It's not just that he died, that he drew you into a position of covenant relationship that changes your whole life, your whole perspective on life. And when the devil comes and says to you, yeah, you go, no. I don't listen. I don't hear. I know my relationship with my Heavenly Father, and you can't move me away from it. You can't move me. No man can separate what God has put together. No man, no man, no devil, no demon, no sin, no nothing. Because God established it in his son, and he accepted my faith so that I can be part of it. And it's his faith, not mine.
Thank you.
You got a better covenant than Abraham had. It's not about works. Christ dealt with the curse. You don't have to worry about the curse. You just say, the blessings are mine. The answer is mine. Amen? Glory to God. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we give you thanks, Lord God. You are great and greatly to be praised. Father, forgive us if we have not had that understanding of covenant relationship with you. We thank you that Jesus, Father, all glory, is our representative in that covenant relationship. And we are the seed of Abraham. We are called the children of the Most High God. We thank you, Father. The promises, the blessings of God are yea and amen. And we receive them now. Father, I pray for all those who are in need here this morning. Father, I pray for an awakening. I pray for an outward appearance of your glory in their manifested presence of your goodness in their lives. I thank you for that now, Father, in Jesus' name. And he's doing it. And he said, I will. Amen and amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yes, Miss Brenda. Okay, what can I...